listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, my beautiful beans, and welcome to the episode of today. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about, surprise, surprise, we're talking about sleep again, but we're going to be talking about a trend that's been going around TikTok, more so a few months ago, but I thought it'd still be relevant and, you know, worth it talking about it. And this is a trend called the Sleepy Girl Mocktail. If you guys have not yet seen this, then even if you're not on TikTok, just Google Sleepy Girl Mocktail. It looks delicious and awesome. And I thought, why not kind of delve into what the science says behind these ingredients and does it actually aid in sleep? Because if you just look at the actual, it's a mocktail. It's not a cocktail, it's a mocktail. But if you look at the ingredients of this Sleepy Girl Mocktail, they're all great. I'm going to break it down in a second. But how much validity is there behind this Sleepy Girl Mocktail? And what is it about the ingredients that could actually help you not only fall asleep, but stay asleep? And does it even improve the quality of your sleep? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And for those of you that struggle to fall asleep or stay asleep, and struggle with maybe insomnia or maybe not full-blown insomnia, but something similar to it, then this would be a great episode for you, because even if you're not into drinking this drink, it's going to give you some ideas for your sleep as well. Cool. So let's first talk about the actual mocktail itself. These are the ingredients. We've got half a cup of pure tart cherry juice. So you might know of this trend as the tart cherry juice mocktail as well. So we got half a cup, that's 125 milliliters. We got 1 tablespoon of magnesium powder. I'll tell you which kind of powder you need to be getting later on. And then we've got ice, and then lemon flavored like soda or sparkling water. I would recommend that if you're having something before going to bed, don't have sugar. I just don't think it's a great idea to be having sugar that's going to kind of spike a lot of activity within yourself before going to bed. And then you just stir it well and you drink it. It sounds fucking delicious. I actually want that right now. So what's going on here, and why do people think that it's such a good drink to have to help you, you know, doze off into a beautiful quality sleep? Also, I'm going to be separating the difference between falling asleep and staying asleep. They're two separate things, and they're measured separately as well, because some people have no issue falling asleep, but then they're waking up throughout the night. So then we're looking at, you know, quality of sleep in that regard. Or some people take ages, sleep latency. I'll go into that. They take ages to fall asleep, but then once they're asleep, they're asleep. Okay. So we're going to be talking about that in a second. Okay. So what's the go? We're going to discuss magnesium, and we're also going to discuss another compound within the tart cherry juice, which is, well, two things. We've got tryptophan, and then we've got melatonin. So melatonin, you might have heard me mention quite a few times. A lot of people take melatonin to help them fall asleep in like chewy capsules or in a powder or things like that. So let's kind of go into that, because at the moment there's a lot of anecdotal kind of stories and claims that explain how this enhances people's sleep, improves sleep, and also improves symptoms of insomnia. So we are needing more and more controlled trials to see, to really be able to measure that. But we've got so much anecdotal evidence that it's like, all right, let's use this evidence and put it into some studies and let's see how we go. Now let's talk about the two things that are in the tart cherry juice. Now also, when I talk about tart cherry juice, we're talking about sour cherry, or something that I've only heard of just now since researching this, is called Montmorency cherries. I hope I've said that correctly. Montmorency cherries or sour cherries. That's the particular one that they are referring to, because it's got the particular levels of melatonin that they're talking about. So we've got tryptophan. Tryptophan is a precursor to a few things. One of them is serotonin. So serotonin is derived from tryptophan. And it also is a precursor to melatonin. So it basically helps your body produce melatonin. And I actually have an entire episode on serotonin and tryptophan. So go check out my serotonin episode. But melatonin is a sleep hormone that's secreted within the body that helps you transition from wakefulness into sleep. Okay. It's melatonin is mainly produced by the pineal gland, which is located kind of right in the center of your brain, but it's outside the blood-brain barrier. And the secretion of melatonin goes up when there's darkness, because it interacts quite heavily with your circadian, you know, all the parts of the brain involved in the circadian rhythm. So melatonin release is secreted more in darkness and it's suppressed in light. So you can see how it's heavily involved with the circadian rhythm. You know, that's why when you have total darkness, or you should have total darkness when you're trying to fall asleep, versus you should be getting good amounts of light when you're trying to wake up. So you really want to ride the wave of your circadian rhythm and use light and dark to help you kind of regulate your sleep as well. So if you're someone that's always on your phone at night and you struggle to fall asleep, eliminate, eliminate, eliminate. I always say just have audio instead if you need distraction, and total darkness. We're trying to train our body to realign to the circadian clock, okay? So yeah, secretion goes up in dark, down in light. And there's heaps of other interactions with melatonin as well. So it's heavily implicated in mood, in your memory, in also in like reproduction, which is quite interesting. And it's also an antioxidant. So it's said to help the brain in a whole lot of other processes due to its antioxidant properties. So it says that it's like it helps clear the brain of basically in simple terms like garbage and rubbish that needs to be cleared from the brain. Now, it is released from this gland into the bloodstream. It's derived from this essential amino acid tryptophan, and then it binds to these MT1 and MT2 receptors, which are located all around the body. And it acts on all these different pathways. So it basically helps to, I mean, it activates some pathways, but it inhibits other pathways, and it helps you kind of start to slow down, sedate, get drowsy. And that drowsiness is what helps you kind of drift off into sleep. Okay. So that's kind of what's happening. Now let's look at a couple of studies that were done. So there's a study that's called, so in case you want to check it out, there's a study that's called Effects of Tart Cherry Juice Beverage on the Sleep of Older Adults with Insomnia. This is a pilot study. So this study was a randomized double blind crossover design. So when you hear that, if you're someone that likes to follow a lot of those like sciencey, you know, people on Instagram or whatever, you might often hear like double blind crossover studies and things like that. So what it basically means, double blind means that both the participants in the study and the people administering the stuff, whether it's the placebo or whether it's the actual medicine, both of those groups are blinded to know which one is placebo and which one is the real deal. So if I'm someone who is administering something in a study, I also don't know. So that way there's no chance of bias. Only the people that are running the study obviously are the ones that are aware. So that's what double blind means. Crossover studies means that both the groups, so you've got a placebo group and then you've got the group that's actually trialing the drug or the, you know, in this case, the tart cherry juice, both those groups in this study, they do the thing for 2 weeks, then they have a 2-week washout period, which means 2 weeks of nothing, and then they cross over and try the other thing for 2 weeks. So they don't know which one's placebo, which one's not at the time, but crossover means that you're getting the same group to test both things and report on it. The reason why that's so good is because it helps cut out other differences within the group that might account for different results, okay? So this is a pretty strong kind of test. A double-blind crossover design is a pretty good design when you're looking at like study design. Basically, they found that this tart cherry juice had the greatest effects with reducing minutes awake after the onset of sleep. So once you fall asleep, how many minutes after you fall asleep are you waking or are you awake, or how many times are you getting disturbed within your sleep after you've fallen asleep, okay? And it found that when compared to sleep latency, which is when the time it takes to fall asleep, and, you know, sleep efficiency, which is, I'll go into that in a second, but it found that with sleep latency and sleep efficiency, not so many differences, but with time awake after falling asleep, it found the greatest amount of differences, and it found that it really did help people suffering from insomnia. Now, keep in mind the limitations here are we're talking about people that are full on suffering insomnia, not people that might just have a few sleep issues here and there. These are older people as well. Well, older meaning like I think in this trial it was people over 50 or 60. But we're seeing a positive benefit here. Now, let's talk about sleep latency for a second. So sleep latency is the time it takes you for you to fall asleep after you have turned off the light. So basically when you're intentionally trying to fall asleep, when you've shut everything down, when you're switching off and you're lying there, it's dark and you're trying to fall asleep. How long does that take? Now, the average time for a healthy individual, a healthy adult, is between 10 and 20 minutes, okay? In general, if it's 8 minutes or lower, it indicates that you're probably sleep deprived or that you have in general poor quality of sleep. So when you do get to bed, you're out like a light, or it might indicate that you have a sleep disorder. But a lot of us know it, that when we're like really, really tired, when we're absolutely spent, when we probably haven't had a good night's sleep the night before, where our head will hit the pillow and we're out. Okay. So that just shows that we were sleep deprived. And if you go to bed, obviously, a lot earlier than you normally would, maybe you've got a flight to catch or whatever, you might find that that sleep latency is a lot longer. You're really struggling to fall asleep because you're just not ready to fall asleep. Going by your body clock, it's kind of like, I don't normally go to sleep at this time. I shouldn't actually have to be asleep. I'm not tired. I'm not sleep deprived. Okay. Alcohol also reduces that sleep latency. So when you drink, you might find that your head hits the pillow and you don't even remember, you know, being awake for a few minutes, tossing and turning in bed before you fall asleep. And that's because, I've spoken about this before, but alcohol depresses the activity in the nervous system. It's reducing activity. It's a sedative. So of course, it's going to help you drop into sleep. It definitely does not improve the quality of your sleep. Alcohol actually reduces or like diminishes the quality of sleep that you get, because a sedative has nothing to do with sleep quality. Sedation is very different to sleep. So when we're looking at trying to get a good sleep, unless you're absolutely desperate, I wouldn't be turning to a sedative to fall asleep, because once you fall asleep, when you're using a sedative to help you fall asleep, the quality of your sleep for the duration of that sleep is significantly reduced. Certain things like deep sleep and REM sleep are affected. This is the sleep where you're getting a lot of the repair, a lot of the memory consolidation, a lot of all the things that should be happening, the clearance of toxins within the brain. That's not happening properly when you've sedated yourself to fall asleep. So don't fall for that trick. It's definitely not a hack. You're not getting around something to get to something. It's just sedating you, but it's not doing anything for quality of sleep. So just be aware of that. And yeah, just know that. Now, so that's sleep latency, the time that it takes from when you hit the pillow to when you fall asleep. Then we've got sleep efficiency, and that refers to the percentage of time that a person is asleep versus the time that they are in bed. So sleep efficiency factors in sleep latency from the moment your head hits the pillow while you're still awake, from when you fall asleep all the way through the sleep to when you get up in the morning. Okay. So sleep efficiency. So when I talk about the cherry juice in the other study, we were talking about time spent asleep and it improved time spent asleep. Sleep efficiency covers that, but it also covers sleep latency, if that makes sense. So we're not seeing improvements in sleep latency and overall sleep efficiency, but we are seeing improvements when we're talking about that smaller bracket of time woken up throughout the sleep. Then we've got another study. This study is called Pilot Study of the Tart Cherry Juice for the Treatment of Insomnia and Investigation of Mechanisms. So both these studies that I've just quoted, you can find in PubMed. So that's where a lot of studies are published. So they're both in PubMed. So this study showed that subjects that had cherry juice in this placebo-controlled trial extended their sleep for 84 minutes. This is a more recent study. So we're seeing a lot of new studies come through, or not necessarily new, but in the last decade, I would say, studies come through that are showing all these benefits and positive effects of this tart cherry juice. There's obviously enough going on in this tart cherry juice. The thing that we have to think about is studies, there's a lot of limitations to studies. To have a study with no limitations whatsoever would be so difficult to do, because you've got to look at, you have to do placebo controlled. You've also got to make sure that you're accounting for dosage. That's really hard to do because you need 1,000 fucking participants or thousands of participants. You know, you might think, okay, yep, tart cherry juice works, but what if you got the dosage slightly off? What if you need double? What if this person needs more because they metabolize it differently to that person? So you've got to factor in, there's a lot of limitations to show how effective something could be. So the tart cherry juice could be a lot more effective, but maybe the dosage wasn't nailed, or maybe whatever, okay? So always take studies with like a pinch of salt, understanding that there's always going to be limitations to every single study that you come across. But basically, there's all these other studies that report improved memory scores and learning as well with tart cherry juice. And this could be due to the fact that tart cherry juice has a lot of antioxidants in it, and you know, that's very neuroprotective to the brain. It helps, like I was saying, it helps with the clearance of toxins and junk in the brain, especially when you're asleep. And then we've also got magnesium that I'll quickly brush over. I've spoken about magnesium in the past, I'm pretty sure. But magnesium plays a really important role in regulating GABA, which is the major inhibitory neurotransmitter in the brain. So that really helps calm your nervous system down. And it's believed that because it helps relax your muscles, it helps you wind down into sleep. So magnesium is great to relax your muscles. If you are someone that exercises regularly, does a lot of weight training, a really good thing to help relax and recover your muscles is a good quality magnesium. Okay. I've done a brain fact actually on magnesium and the different kinds of magnesiums and why cheap magnesium acts as a laxative versus expensive magnesium. It won't act as a laxative and all these things. So definitely go check that out. I'll see if I can find which episode that was in and try and link it to the show notes. It's really, really, really interesting because different magnesiums have different percent of magnesium. Some magnesiums have like, you've got magnesium oxide, you've got all these different magnesiums. So it's important that when you're talking about sleep, you're choosing the right magnesium, probably in a powder form. Magnesium glycinate is really easy for the body to absorb. Great for muscle recovery. Great to help relax your muscles. As you're easing into sleep, it really softens everything down. You're able to wind down. A lot of the time, people who struggle to fall asleep carry a lot of physical tension within their body as well. So that's another thing that could be blocking you from falling asleep and you're just not relaxing properly. So for example, a good indication if this might be you, because you might not even be aware that you're holding a lot of tension because you hold tension all the time, that it's now your default, that's your baseline. So you're not even aware that you're doing it. But a really good indication, if you're someone that has tried to meditate here and there and you're not doing it continuously, you might find that my mom is a prime example of this. She says this to me all the time that, you know, it's really, I can't just relax. It's really hard to just relax, like to sit there, close my eyes and just relax because before I know it, I'm tensing here and then I'm tensing there and I'm tensing there. She also has a lot of crazy amounts of like sleep problems and waking up in the middle of the night and this and that. So obviously people who notice a lot of tension while they're meditating, you might be someone also that holds a lot of tension when you're trying to fall asleep. So you may find possibly that magnesium, this powdered magnesium, a good quality magnesium, is going to help you relax. And just the simple act of relaxing your muscles is going to help you fall asleep. So now you can see why this cocktail, or mocktail, I should say, is potentially extremely beneficial. There's no observed negative side effects from having, well, a lot of the studies that so I'm talking about 125 mil of cherry juice, okay? A lot of the studies that they're talking about is a cup, that's 250 mils or even more, okay? So you might want to up the dosage of that cherry juice or you could keep it the same. But as far as adverse effects and as far as negative side effects, there's nothing that's been observed, at least with that dose, which is even a lot higher than what this recipe calls for. And the magnesium as well, you're having one tablespoon, it's perfectly fine. We need magnesium in our diet anyway. So as far as the actual health of the drink, very healthy, nothing wrong with it. Aim for no sugar if you can. But you can see how there's three really important compounds that really benefit the brain when it comes to winding down and falling asleep. We've got the magnesium, muscles, body relaxant, regulates GABA. We've got the tryptophan, which helps with serotonin, it helps with your mood, it helps with your memory consolidation, learning. It is the precursor to melatonin and serotonin. And then we've got melatonin, which is, of course, what helps the onset of sleep. It brings on sleepiness, especially when there's dark. So if you're going to have this juice in the morning, it's not going to make you sleepy. It's not a sedative, okay? But it's something that within the right environment will help you doze off. So if you have this drink and then you go out, you're not going to be like, oh my God, I'm so drowsy because I had this sleepy girl mocktail. That's not what's going to happen because there's still too many things going on that's keeping you alert. However, if you have this drink and then you turn the lights off and then you allow your body to wind down, then your muscles can start to relax. Then your mind can start, then you doze off, it's darker. And then it's just that little thing that gives you the edge that helps you lean into a sleep and stay sleeping for longer. Okay. So that's what we're getting. The difference to that is that it's leaning in on what's already occurring in the brain, but giving it a little boost versus a sedative that comes along and mutes everything that's going in the brain and sedates you. They're two very different things. So if you're someone that's always relying on a sedative to fall asleep, well, number one, you need to speak to a doctor, GP, get a referral. You need to get that checked out because if you're always sedating yourself, you're actually not sleeping nowhere near as much as you think you are. And that's going to lean into a whole bunch of other problems. A lot of people that have sleep issues and are always sedating themselves might find that they've got problems in other areas of their health as well. Their memory is shot to pieces. They're extremely stressed. They might have a lot of anxiety, mood disorders. Then they might have a lot of physical symptoms that come out as well. A lot of like tension. Their body isn't repairing as quickly. Their muscles don't repair as quickly. So you're going to notice that, wow, I'm always, you know, taking this to sedate myself. And then I wake up and I'm super anxious and super stressed and I'm forgetful. That's because, you know, the number one thing that you want to look at when it comes to health, in my opinion, and in a lot of experts' opinion, is your sleep quality. So really, 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 really pay attention to that. And if you're someone who's like, oh, well, I struggle to fall asleep and I don't think it's anything too serious, but I just take, you know, some kind of sedative. There's heaps of sedatives that people could take, sleeping pill, whatever. And then I fall asleep and it's fine. Maybe try something like this first. Try and like get your sleep hygiene intact, because it's going to genuinely positively impact almost every area of your life, including your relationships, including your creativity. You've heard me go on about it forever, and I will continue to go on about it forever, because it's there's one thing that I can do for my listeners is to get them understanding the seriousness of their sleep. I don't care how boring it sounds. It is so fucking important for your mental health. It is so important for your happiness, for your productivity, for your attention span, for your everything, okay? So please do me this favor, and before you, unless it's like a full-blown medical problem, you've exhausted every avenue, then it's not my place to tell you what to do. But if you have yet to exhaust everything, lean into these things first with your sleep. Lean into things that are going to help your brain do what it needs to do to help you fall asleep, instead of kind of blunting what your brain is doing and overriding it and then it not carrying out the job that it has to do. So give this a go. As I said, no light. It has to be dark. And yeah, it's fine to have audio. It's fine to have something quiet to help you distract. If you're someone that if it's total silence and total darkness, then you're like, my thoughts are so loud and I can't fall asleep. That's okay. Audiobook, great podcast, whatever it is that helps you fall asleep, but try no lights, no stimulation, total darkness. Have this cherry juice, have some magnesium, relax your body. Another thing that helps for some people is to stretch. If you're super, super tight and you hold a lot of tension, especially in your hips, and then you get sore when you're lying down, maybe do a stretch an hour or so before bed when you're watching TV or when you're talking to someone, just stretch it out. All these little things are going to help with the quality of your sleep. So as far as my opinion on the Sleepy Girl mocktail, I give it a huge tick. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it, especially if you remove the sugar when you're trying to go to sleep. It is all good, all beneficial. Like I said, make sure that the magnesium that you're taking is like a quality magnesium. You want like a powdered form of magnesium glycinate. That's kind of it. That's everything I have to say to you today. Give that a go. Try it out. Check it out on TikTok if you haven't yet. Just search Sleepy Girl Mocktail. It's very, very cool. I actually am going to start doing it. I want to give you my opinion on it personally. I actually just sleep quite well in general, so I don't know if I would notice benefits or differences. Sometimes you don't realize how good your quality of sleep is if you're just out cold the entire night. But as far as I'm concerned, I have relatively good sleep. So regardless, I'm going to try it and see if I even notice benefits, even in my situation where it's pretty good. Cool. Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I love you guys so much. Shout out to my global beans. Shout out to my beans in India. Got a bunch of my beans in India. Love you guys so much. Thanks for the support. Thanks for listening. And as always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke.
Listener.